Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. What you do is so loud, I can't hear what you say. A lot of kids think that way when mom and dad tell them what to do. Leading by example, it's the best way to raise children who walk with God. Today, more teaching on the family at a time when the family is under siege. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues a 10-part series on fighting for your family. Listen now as Dr. Lutzer speaks on children, God's special gift.
Let me ask you some questions. You want children to honor God, don't you? Do they ever see you reading the Bible or praying? Do they ever see that? You want children who don't drink. Do you drink? You want children who tell the truth. Do you tell the truth? Or have the kids seen and heard you lie? Modeling. It's powerful. There's going to come a time in the life of your teenager when all that you say and all that you do will not be heard, but it will be your life, even in the midst of struggle, that will impact them. It's what they remember. We had family devotions all the time, without fail, in my home. But interestingly, the thing that I remember is when a hailstorm came and knocked out the crop. And in those days, my father didn't have insurance. And when it was over, I hope I can get through this story okay. Our parents said, let's get on our knees and thank God for all of his goodness. That's what kids remember. A model of godliness in the midst of trial. Third, what kids really need is obedience to authority. The passage is Ephesians 6. It's worthy of a sermon in itself. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. You say, well, I can't honor my father and my mother because my father was abusive and maybe the mother was too. By the way, in a future sermon, I'm going to deal with the whole issue of abuse. So you be patient. We'll talk about that. But for now, honor your father and your mother that it may go well with you. Children, obey your parents. You know, you've seen this. Let me give you a bit of advice. First of all, have few rules, but be consistent with them, absolutely consistent. And just teach them obedience. You've seen it 1,000 times. We've all done it. Let's suppose little Peter is playing there with the blocks, and you say, Peter, it's time to go. Does nothing. Keeps on. Peter, I said that we are to go. Do something with the blocks. Put them back in the box. He plays. There's no need to go yet. Peter Joseph Hendricks, would you please put those blocks back in the box? Ah, when he hears his middle name, he knows it's time to go. Why doesn't that kind of obedience happen the first time you say it? It's your fault and it's mine. When the Bible says, fathers, don't exasperate your children, and that's the rest of it, how do we exasperate our children? Fathers, it's by overcorrection. Overcorrection, by yelling at them and always criticizing them, always finding some reason to find fault. The Bible warns against that. Should be a separate sermon. You say, well, should we ever use physical punishment? I say, absolutely, when it's necessary, you apply the Board of Education to the seat of learning. My father had a razor strap. Now, some of you don't even know what that is, but it was hanging at the back of the door. My older brother should have written over it, I need thee every hour. You know, we've so reacted against the world because the world has said, oh, that's child abuse. Of course it can be child abuse. If it's done in anger, if you're hitting the child as such. But a proper spanking at a proper time with a proper reason and a proper ending where there's reconciliation afterwards, there's probably nothing quite like it to help the kid know where the boundaries are. Well, we must hurry on, and there's a fourth principle, and that is that children must be taught both law and grace. And in this section, I've been helped by a book I read this past week. It's entitled Give Them Grace, and it's written by a woman and her daughter. The names are Fitzpatrick and Thompson. Give Them Grace. Children need both. Let me talk about, first of all, the law. We have to give them the law. The Bible says in the book of Deuteronomy, we should teach them the law. So we teach them the Ten Commandments. We teach them the Sermon on the Mount. We teach them the book of Proverbs. We have good standards in the home. We say, as long as you live here, these are the standard, these are the rules. You have basically two responses from children at that point. One is the good child, perhaps the compliant child, seldom the firstborn. The firstborn oftentimes competitive. And, well, there's some other things I could say about firstborns. Being a lastborn, I can comment on firstborns. I won't tell you the faults of a lastborn, but I've pretty well got them all. But you see, the compliant child says, okay, I'm going to do that. I'm going to excel. I'm going to get good grades. I'm going to study hard. I'm going to stay away from drugs and all the other things that the kids are doing. I'm going to be the good child. I'm going to excel. I'm going to have a good job. I'm the model child. That's one response. But then there's another kid in the home who said, you know, I can't live up to my older brothers and sisters and all of these high standards. I'll put up with this home until I'm old enough to leave home. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to do my own thing and finally be away from mother and father, and especially if he hates his dad or his mother, he's going to say in his mind, I hate my dad and I hate his God. So I'm out of here. Two different responses from law. What is missing in that scenario? What's missing is the gospel and grace. It's totally missing from the scenario. Let's talk about child number one for just a moment, the good child. He doesn't understand grace. He really doesn't see any need for it, really, because look at how well he's doing. He brings his report card home, and it's pretty well got straight A's, and he's on his way, and people are looking at him and saying, he's going to be successful. He need grace. Not really. Well, you know, church and God, it's all nice if you're desperate, but he's not desperate. Child number two, entirely different scenario. Child number two, what does he need? He needs grace. Because you see, the reason that he leaves home and does his own thing is because he figures he can't live up to this high standard that his parents have set out for him. He can't live up to this standard. And why should he even bother trying to live up to the standard when he can't do it? And he can't do it. What he needs is the gospel. He needs grace. Because you see, the Bible says that Jesus Christ came on a rescue mission, died for our sins, and was raised again for this reason, for a number of reasons, but one is so that we could be forgiven and actually have the righteousness of Christ applied to us to make up for all of our deficits and all of our inabilities and all of our sins. And secondly, to change our hearts. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are becoming new. The first commandment says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, and with all thy soul. Can we wake up in the morning and keep that commandment? Of course not. How can we even begin to keep that commandment unless we've been born again and God births within us a supernatural love of God? Can't be done. And what this boy needs, you see, he says in his mind, after he's been in the far country, he says, you know, I've blown it so badly. God is probably so mad at me. There's no use coming back to God. And being reconciled because I can't live up to it anyway. But what he needs to know is that that's why Jesus came. Of course we can't live up to it. Of course he can't, and neither can you, and neither can I. But God receives sinners and gives them what they don't have. He gives them the gift of righteousness and acceptance before God, and then he also gives them a motivation to live differently, how many failures they may do along life's way, just like I've done and you've done. But this boy needs to know that he doesn't have to come to God and promise that he's going to live like his elder brother. He comes just as he is. There's a song we've sometimes sung, probably not sung it often enough, that says, "The vilest of sinners who truly believes, that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. He can come as he is, with his weaknesses and sins, and he will be received by God because of grace." Let me ask you a question. Which group of people did Jesus have the greatest problem with when he was here on earth? Well, you know, he was criticized for hanging out with the drunkards and the prostitutes and the tax collectors and all those other things. They said, you know, he's hanging out with these people. But Jesus was received by them, but the goody two-shoes who were keeping the law, oy, oy, oy. If you haven't read Matthew 23 for a while, you read Matthew 23. And, you know, I read it and I say, you know, I've never had the nerve to even preach on this. Is this the loving Jesus talking, excoriating these self-righteous people? He had a bigger problem with them. In fact, that's why he once told a parable about a man who had two sons. The elder brother who stayed home, the one who worked on the farm day and night, made it successful. And then the other kid, you know, who ran into the far country and then in desperation decided to come home. Well, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer. As you can tell, I preach this series of messages with a great deal of passion, because I know that our families are in trouble. And it is because of that that I wanted to communicate truth and the importance of connecting with children. This series of messages has to do with finances, how the power of praying parents can transform a family. It has to do with entertainment in our homes. And I want you to have this information, and Dave is going to be giving us some of that information in just a moment so that these messages can be yours. But I also want to say thank you so much for your support of the ministry of Running to Win. As I frequently mention on the broadcast, we're so thankful for the many who pray for us. When I get an opportunity to go outside of Chicago, sometimes I'm amazed at the number of people who recognize this continuing ministry here at the church.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. Today we heard more of Children, God's Special Gift, another message on fighting for your family. Next time on Running to Win, navigating the uncertain waters of child rearing. Fighting for Your Family is a video series with a discussion guide for small groups. The DVDs and the guide will be sent as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about fighting for your family. Online, go to offerrtw.com or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.